Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's time to move forward with Minister Bridget. I am so grateful, thankful, and blessed for you to be with me today as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a what? It is a good word. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his good word, his great word. Thanking God for his son. Today's word is coming out of our New Testament word, and it is the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the good shepherd. Father God, we thank you for your son. We thank you for his life that he gave for each and every one of us. Lord God, as we go through this word, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Asking you, Lord, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart simple in your sight. But Lord God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my father. You are my savior. You are my God. And I am your humble servant. Asking you, Lord God, to guide me through the word, that I will have understanding and wisdom, oh God, to discern it and to speak it and to teach it. In your son's holy and matchless name, I thank you for this day, Lord God, that you have made. I rejoice in it. But Lord God, you brought the sunshine and you gave us your son. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in this word, that it is true, that it is holy, that is divinely anointed and appointed for such a time as this. Amen. Divinely anointed and appointed. God has given us his word to get us through. There's so much going on in the world. Every time you turn on the television, it's a mass shooting. It's a war, rumors of war. It's remembrance. And before we get started today, I'd like to just take a moment of silence to remember and to appreciate the lives lost in battle for the protection of this nation. May the Lord watch over the souls of those that lost their lives in battle on this Memorial weekend. And I like to thank God for the service of the veterans in my family. My late husband, Lieutenant Colonel R.J. Smith, Sr. My son, Airman, First Class, A.T. Smith. My brother-in-law. And I'm not sure what his rank is, but he was in the Army. Greg Lewis, my brother, in the Navy, Daryl Johnson, my father-in-law, R.V. Smith, Navy, World War II, who just celebrated his 96th birthday on yesterday. Happy birthday, Dad. Love you so, so much. And just an FYI for families, you know, who can't get together. And some who won't get together because of being afraid. A Zoom call. We had a Zoom call with family, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be able to see his face, to be able to see his smile, for him to be amazed at the technology where he could see all his family members on a computer screen. That was pretty cool. So thanking God for family. And thanking God, again, for those who serve. My family, Navy, Army, Air Force. And, oh, my nephew, Greg Lewis, who served in the Navy also, and my niece, Jade, who served in the Army. So, yes, we are a military family, and I'm thankful that my husband was in service to this nation. He loved his country. And, again, thanking those who served is important. If you had a parent, a cousin, a brother, a sister, some auntie, anybody that's in your family that has served, just call them and say thank you for your service. It was appreciated because we have the freedoms we have because somebody allowed a family member to serve for you. So thank you, God, for our servicemen and women. And so let's get started in our words. This morning we are starting in Psalms and Proverbs, and then we will go to John chapter 10. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 68, and we're starting in verses 15 through 20. And it's a blessing, and it says, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell. And yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even 20 of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah. Our God is the God of salvation, and the God, the Lord belongs, escapes from death. And a life lesson from Dr. Stanley for this word is this, Psalm 68 and 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Can y'all say hallelujah with me? And it says, we will never know how the Lord loads us with benefits every day of our lives. We take for granted many of his blessings, life, food, shelter, friends, family, clothes. But we should always praise him for who he is. That is so true. We must praise God for who he is. He woke you up this morning. That's a benefit. He started you on your way. That's a benefit. He gave you food on the table. Hallelujah. That's a benefit. And if you're listening to this vlog, he gave you money to pay your cell phone bill. That's a benefit. Hallelujah. So I thank God for the benefits. And if you have breath in your body and able to speak, hallelujah, thanking you, Lord, for the benefit. And I just want to do a quick shout out to Table of Life Ministries and for those that live in the Springfield community and surrounding areas. Starting next Thursday, the church will provide a meal after evening service or before evening service on Thursday. There will be a meal provided from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. every Thursday. There will be a meal provided starting also in June on Sundays starting at 1 o'clock p.m. to 2:15 p.m. There will be a meal provided. Also starting on Thursday, which will be registration day, families will receive come in for orientation as the backpack program will start week after next, where every Thursday you will be allowed to pick up a backpack or a tote it will be full of food per person in households. So it's not a book bag or tote for the household. It is per person in the household. Every child pre-K to 12th grade and parents will receive a bag of food for the week. Every Thursday, you will receive a book bag full of food. And all we ask is that you bring the book bag or tote back to us every Sunday. Stay for a meal. Leave your bag. It will be sanitized. It will be cleaned up and ready to go, filled with food on the next Thursday. You will, however, need to register. There is no cost. And it's called Hope of Life. And we add parents. The program includes book bag, weekly food, a free hot meal on every Thursday and Sunday. And the phone number to call, please get a pen, is 217-720-5100. And the address is 2600 South 5th Street. Again, the address is 2600 South 5th Street, Table of Life Ministries. The phone number to call is 217-720-5100. If there's anyone that you know with food insecurities, please tell them about this program. If you are driving and you see a homeless person that is asking for food, said all you need to do is go to 2600 South 5th Street. And on Thursdays, they will get you registered and you will have a bag of food for the week. All you have to do is bring it back, get you a hot meal. And so we are saying, if there's anybody that you know that is going hungry, please send them to the Table of Life. You know, we know in the Word of God that when I was hungry, you fed me. Isn't that what Jesus says? And says, will say. So we want to feed as many people as we can. So it is Hope of Life Outreach Program, Table of Life Ministries. The phone number again is 217-720-5100. Please call if you know anyone that has food insecurities that is looking for food. Thank you so very much for listening to that church announcement as we get back into our word. And you can find more information at tableoflifeministries.net. And it says this in Proverbs chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. But let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Because they just act crazy. Let's call it straight. You rob a bear of her cubs, she's going to tear you to pieces. And a fool in his folly has no filter, none at all, and will act up wherever they are. Just act up. Because they don't understand that they're being foolish. So let's continue in our word, Psalm 68, chapter 68, verses 21 through 27. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. All you got to do is ask Jezebel. They have seen your procession. Oh, God, they've seen your procession, the procession of God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on the instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. God bless God in the congregations. The Lord from the fountain of Israel there is little Benjamin, their leader, the prince of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13 through 15. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You better catch that. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. We wonder why folks have lost their mind about certain things going on. It's because they allowed evil into their house. They allowed lies and cheating and all things not of God into their house. And it decided to stay. What does it say when an evil spirit leaves? Comes back seven times worse. You say, hey, let's go get some friends. And you're wondering why things are going on in your house, why everybody's angry, why everybody's all up in arms over every little teeny thing. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You can't reward evil for good. You can't say, oh, it's all right. And I believe, and you put people and stuff on pedestals. Be careful what you worship, because what you put the most energy in and are ready to die for it, that's your God. Be careful in who you allow to take the place of the Most High, because you are rewarding evil for good. And it says that the beginning of strife is like releasing water. We wonder why it's going on in this country. Folks have lost their minds. It's nothing unusual. Like I said at the beginning of this show, folks opening the paper, those that still read the newspaper, you know, looking on the paper, at the paper on your phone, or just turning on the television, and if somebody has been murdered. Somebody has had a mass shooting on the job. People afraid to go to work because there's somebody that's a Looney Tune going through that just wants everybody else to go through with them. Having that Judas moment where they betray and kill their coworkers and then kill themselves. Take the coward's way out. Don't mind going in and shooting up a church. Don't mind going and shooting up a park. Don't mind doing the evilest things and vilest things you can imagine. Trading children for drugs. Come on now, I'm just calling it off. Better understand the wicked and wickedness is out there. We just read it on Friday when we read our, went into First Kings. And Solomon had to deal with a wicked harlot who was wanting to take the live baby because hers had died and didn't mind if the live baby was cut in half. Just wicked. Bed next to your to someone that's working in your profession. Let's call it straight. They were harlots. But understand, folks do what they got to do to survive. And God is the one that leads them out of that lifestyle. Woman, where are your accusers? You know, as we want to judge, keep your tongue behind your teeth. You don't know anybody's situation. All you can do is help them get out of it and pray. Because I guarantee you, that woman who got her baby restored is not going to work in that profession. God's going to bless her with another job and a husband. Because she loved so much that she was willing to give up her child to an evil, wicked woman before letting him die. So understand, we know that God is in over us. And this is what it says, therefore stop contention before a quarrel starts. In other words, keep your tongue behind your teeth. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Just be quiet. Don't talk about folks, just be quiet. And say, I give them to God and keep it moving. Because all the mess and all the, you know, because folks will love to say, well, such and such said this and such said that. And before long, you got all kind of confusion within the home, within the workplace, within the church. It's all there. What it say? The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Don't let it, because once you let it start, it's hard to close it off. That's just like when a dam breaks. It's hard to try to contain all that water when you don't have a dam to put it back behind. And as we continue, it says in verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 17, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. The Lord needs to be talking to the Congress of the United States, because a whole lot of that is going on. Just calling it like it is. We got a whole lot of folks that are just so full of lies and foolishness. We're going to continue and go ahead in our Proverbs words in verses 16 and 17. And it says, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Wow. Let's get back and also into Psalm 68, verses 28 through 35. And it says, your God has commanded your strength. Strength, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beast of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. To everyone, submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out our hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Praises to the Lord, Selah. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy place. I love that word. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Blessed family, blessed be God. We are so blessed that we don't even understand how good God is. Whoo, hallelujah. How good God is. Blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. And now we are going to get into our New Testament word, and we will be coming out of John chapter 10, and I am in the New King James version of the word, and I am coming out of a daily Bible written by Dr. Charles Stanley. So when you hear me say life lessons, life questions, life examples, they are the words of Dr. Stanley, and maybe some of my words are sprinkled in, but it is majority Dr. Stanley. And the title of the Bible, and I would recommend it for anybody looking just for a daily word to study, to read, to follow along with us. It is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. There is a Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible, which also is very, very good. I would just say it's always good to have a daily Bible in your arsenal, because then you have something that you can look at every day for devotion, every day to meditate on day and night. As the word tells us that we should meditate on the word of God day and night. When you have a daily Bible, it gives you something to meditate on day and night. All you have to do is open it and read it. And normally, if you open it and read it every day, you will have read the whole entire Bible within a year. And that is the goal of this show, is to read the Bible every day until we read it from Genesis to Revelation. starting January 1, even on New Year's Day, I am in the Word of God. So you will start January 1, chapter 1, Genesis, and you will end on December the 31st in Revelation chapter 22. And I'm just going to read it. I love this word. It just does something to my spirit. Revelation chapter 22. And it's verse 21. And all it says is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And it ends with the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for his Son. John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know, hallelujah, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves. All who ever came, before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am. Y'all ready for that? I love it when he says, I am. He's just reminding you who he is. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And the word for today, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Think about David. David was willing to go up against a bear for his sheep. David did not play. He went up against Goliath for his future kingdom. He didn't know he was fighting for Israel. He was fighting a bracket. He was fighting for God. God I live and for God I die. David did not play when it came to God. If he messed up, he cleaned up and he repented. Because he understood who was his shepherd. He understood that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David did not play. He understood that Jesus, and David said, I didn't have Jesus back then, but he was his descendant because this good king loved God and obeyed God. A descendant of David was the Savior who was with David, because he tells you up front, how can David say my Lord and my God? Jesus let you know, I was there with Moses and I was there with David. Call me my Lord. Come on now. Jesus knew who exactly he was because he's never been away. He just came in the flesh, human flesh, for us, to die for us. to go through all the things that we go through for 33 years. He went through for us. I am. He let you know. I am. Forgives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am, I say it again, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Did you catch that? One flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these things, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Come on, y'all. Because when it comes to a true shepherd, there are those that don't want to hear them. There are those that are, they would rather call them a liar, but yet they would believe a big lie before they would believe the shepherd. Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the good shepherd. There are bad shepherds out there leading their sheep astray, having them do anything and everything and having them drink the Kool-Aid. They would give up their life for that man before they would worship God the Most High. You better understand, if you put something on a pedestal, you are replacing God. If you would believe a lie, you would justify anything that that person did or does. You have replaced God with them. God will give you discernment. He will give you understanding. All you have to do is ask for it. And this is the word of God. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is not one of many doors to the Father, but the only door. He never claimed to be one root among several intimate relationship with God, but insisted he was the only way. You cannot get to God but through the Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, there's many ways to heaven, there's many ways to God, and there's this and there's no. It says it in the Word. There is only one way to God. And that is through our shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ. No man will come to the Father but through the Son. Don't get it twisted. No, you're not getting there through anybody but Jesus. Whether you like it or not, you're not making it without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can worship all kind of stuff. You know, I'm just going to call it straight. You're not getting there without Jesus. And also, there's no grave anywhere. Don't get that twisted. His bones are not there. He is not there because that grave could not hold him. He is back with the Father, and you're not getting there without him. John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. He's telling you who he is. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If Jesus willingly gave his life to save ours, how can we think he would ever keep back from us anything that would truly benefit us? But have you asked in my name, right? He is the good shepherd and not the stingy shepherd or the tight-fisted shepherd. He has arms open to receive us and to give us eternal life. He's the warmest hug you could ever receive. He is the brightest light you could ever see. We got to know, and he is the sweetest voice you will ever hear. His name is Jesus, and I love him more than anything. John 10:17, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. God gave Jesus the authority both to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins, to rise from the dead in power and great glory. Jesus' death and resurrection were equally planned from eternity. And we're going to go over real quick to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Let me grab my Bible here. Under Bible. I'm a firm believer you should have more than one Bible. You know, and I'm not saying be selfish. If there's somebody in need and you have more than overflow, then don't hesitate to give one away, because God will always provide you with another. But it's always good to have more than one Bible in your arsenal, because sometimes you may have to read a different version to get the understanding that somebody who does not understand King James, they don't get it. But maybe they might understand a New King James, which is why I read New King James instead of King James. It's because when you don't have to have the confusion of them, thou, and all these extra things, it gets to the point. New King James gets to the point of what God is trying to say, and he makes it, and it makes it plain. That's why I read New King James. But we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13, and I am reading out of King James, verse number 8. And it says in King James, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we're going to go up, because y'all know I'm about context. We're going to go up to verse number 6, and it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And we're going to go back up, because we're talking about the nasty dragon. We're talking about the sneaky snake. And it goes on to tell us this in verse number 1. We're going back to verse 1. I'm a firm believer that when you read the word of God, read it in context. Because so many times folks will grab a word, take it, and run with it, and it's all out of whack and not in context. And this says, the beast from the sea, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Remember, talking about the Antichrist. Wounded to death. And his deadly wound was all the world wondered after the beast, followed after the Antichrist. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, Father Elijah, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And then and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him of all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to go on to verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Understand, it's some stuff going down. Don't think revelation is a kind of word. It is a true word. And there will be people who will follow the liars and the cheats because somebody died. Oh, they didn't die. They were healed. You better look. That's the Antichrist. Read the word. When you know the word, you see past the surface of things. Folks get all excited, want to follow du jour. Whatever is of the day, that's what they seek. When we need to seek Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 42. And it says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. Of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. They just don't have a clue who they are talking to. And let's continue in the word this morning. And then we'll get some life lessons after we finish this John word. John 11, 1 through 29. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary was anointed, who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now understand, everybody talks about the alabaster box, and, you know, but if you remember, it was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper that the oil was poured on him. And now John is telling you who it was. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Y'all caught that? The Bible explains it all. Whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Then Jesus heard that. He said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said after that. He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. We call them the wailing women. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Well, what a word. And some life lessons from John chapter 22, verse 42, to John chapter 11, verse 29. And the first is this, I am my Father, a one. John chapter 10, verse 30. When Jesus used the word, I am my Father, he proclaimed a clear distinction in the two divine persons. But saying they are one, he proclaimed their unity and nature and equality. And the hearers understood his claim. There is only one God, but we know him in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10, verse 38, believe the works that you may know and believe. God often asks more like a pragmatist than an idealist. Jesus said it would be best if his audience would believe him, but if they didn't, at least they could believe in the fact of his amazing actions. God wants us to know the word. And, you know, I'm going to go back real quick over to John chapter 10, verse 22-23. It says John 10:22-23 tells us it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. It's one of those details that seems to be as an afterthought. However, it's a great blessing for us when we truly look at it. That's because the Feast of Dedication is actually Hanukkah. And here we see that Jesus made the effort to go to the temple to celebrate it because Hanukkah is part of his heritage. It's part of ours as Christians, too. In fact, Hanukkah holds great promise and encouragement for us as believers. The story of Hanukkah actually begins in Daniel chapter 8:8-12, and is continued in Daniel chapter 11:29-32. Here Daniel prophesied that after a great defeat against the south, a brutal ruler will retreat to Israel and take his fury out on the people there. He shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abominations of desolation. Those who wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. History shows that Daniel's prophecy came true through the evil man named Atticus Epiphanes. After the Egyptians and Roman coalition trounced him, he did indeed return to Israel. He knew that in order to subjugate the Israelites, he would have to separate them from their God, because the Lord was their strength and sense of identity. So as Daniel prophesied, Epiphanes forces eliminated the offerings and forbid the Israelites to circumcise their sons, which struck at the heart of their covenant with God. It was a terrible time. From 40,000 to 80,000 Jews were slaughtered, and 40,000 more were sold into slavery. Worst of all, the Phinehas went into the holy temple of God, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar to Zeus. He also destroyed every copy of the Torah he could find, killing whoever it was that was hiding it. The persecution started in Jerusalem and quickly spread throughout Israel. Yet in the town of Modin, an old priest named Matthias refused to sacrifice to Epiphanes God, along with his son Judas Maccabeus. Y'all heard of the Maccabees, right? Matthias was able to defeat all the Epiphanian soldiers. They joined forces with the Hasidines, mighty Orthodox warriors, and went throughout the land, driving out the sinners and tearing down altars to Epiphanes' gods. God won amazing victories through his little army, as Daniel 13:32 has promised. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Finally, Epiphanes got so sick of being defeated by them that he sent half of his forces, over 65,000 soldiers. This is a history lesson of the Maccabees, against the Maccabeus army. The Israelites prayed, fasted, and tithed. Then they sounded the trumpets and gave a shout, and they beat the enemy handily. After that, Maccabeus men fought their way to Jerusalem to address what had been done at the temple. They were heartbroken by what they found there, but they set about cleansing it. They did everything as the law commanded. They consecrated and dedicated the temple of God for 8 days. Now, there was a great miracle that happened during the consecration. In order to have a proper dedication, it was necessary to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from morning to evening. However, they only found one polluted vessel of oil with the seal of the high priest, which was only enough for one day. Yet miraculously, that one vessel burned all 8 days of the dedication until they could consecrate no more. They had been faithful to God, and now he was showing himself faithful to them. Imagine Jesus walking along the colonnade of the same temple that had been reclaimed almost two centuries beforehand, thinking about what happened during those 8 days of consecration. And like Maccabeus, he was going to vanquish an enemy that had defiled God's people. However, this time, the miraculous light would not last only 8 days. This time, Christ was bringing the true light, the light of eternity, to people. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This time, what was being consecrated was not a temple of stone and mortar, but of flesh and blood. The world, like Epiphanes, will do everything in its power to separate us from our God, because he is our strength, our identity, and our salvation. However, Jesus promises, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. No one can defile what Christ has made clean. And as his people, he has made us undefilable and inextinguishable. Hanukkah is more than a festival of lights. It's the celebration of God helping his people when they had lost all hope. That's how we were when we were lost in sin. But now we have the light that will last forever. What a history lesson. What a word. Sometimes you got to go and get the knowledge. You know, you see certain books and you don't understand why they're important. The book of Maccabees is very important. It's not in the Word, but there are separate books that you can buy and read. It's always good to have an arsenal of knowledge. A life lesson for John 11 and 14. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Jesus did not mean that Lazarus would not die. He did. But that the episode would not end in death. When Jesus is involved, death ends nothing. As life, the Lord of life, he triumphs even over death. And this is what it says, also a life example, and then we'll be wrapping it up. We might go a couple of minutes over this morning, but it says this, after Jesus raised his brother from the dead, Martha finally understood the awesome power of Christ. She knew that nothing she could do would ever honor him sufficiently, yet also that he would gladly receive anything done for him out of heart of genuine devotion. John 11, 19 through 44. God invites you to use your gifts to express praise to him, especially if you use them with a grateful, joyful heart. If, however, they become your avenue for seeking acceptance and prestige, as with Martha at the beginning, Luke 10, 38 through 48, then they can become a source of bitterness and resentment. Your actions can either proclaim Christ, or they can seek your own advancement. You can use your talents with an attitude of praise or an attitude of self-promotion. As you express your gifts today, consider your testimony. Will you serve out a praise to him? Will you choose work or worship? And that is all I have for today. It's a testimony Sunday at the Table of Life. If you have a testimony, come and visit us. And this is the last word for the day. I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. We have to understand that God is far more concerning with growing our faith than with making us comfortable. Jesus said he was glad about the death of Lazarus because he valued his friend's faith over their fears. Hallelujah. Faith over fear. Triumph. Before we get out of here, a quick word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for yesterday was this. How far you've come. Everything you have, never forgotten. Never forget. How far you've come. Everything you have gotten through. The times you pushed or even when you felt you couldn't. All the mornings you got out of bed, no matter how hard it was. All the times you wanted to give up, but God gave you strength for the day and made a way when you saw no way. Thank him. Amen. And the word of God for this morning is simply this. Good morning. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday, our sister in Christ tells us. And I say to you today, never give up and know the voice of your shepherd, for the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Thank you all for listening in. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that our Father God is in charge of everything. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who has given his life for us and who is coming again with all power in his hands to save his sheep. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.